Well, as you see, this workshop is on the teenage confusion and conflict of sexuality and sexual sin. And it really is not any surprise to me that we've got a good number of people, not by any means because I happen to be up front. It's just the topic, okay? Many of you probably say, well, I don't know who this guy Andy Woodall is, but the topic sounds like something that might be of benefit to us. So hopefully in looking into the scriptures tonight, that will be of benefit to all of us. And that'll be something that'll give us some direction. I'll just share with you briefly. My name is Andy Woodall. I function as a youth pastor here. I've been here for a little over 6 years now. Did a one-year internship that counted as my final year at Baptist Bible Seminary in Clark Summit, Pennsylvania. That brought me here. The Lord worked out a great transition where Scott Shelburne, who was the previous youth pastor, has since moved on to another ministry. And the timing of that was just great. And the Lord was very gracious to allow us to come in here and minister. And I am so thankful to be here under and alongside Steve Byers, Mark Dutton, now Doug Helmer, Brent Oakland. And now we have other interns that are here and Pastor Bob LeFou. And so the list goes on and on. But it's a great privilege. And I thank the Lord for that privilege. This workshop comes out of just really a burden that I have, a burden that the Lord has placed on my heart, something that the Lord has really done a work in my life and I'm thankful for. And right now, something that I'm seeing just mushroom in our youth ministry. The Lord is allowing multiple situations where guys are just coming forward saying, hey, I need some help in this area of sexual purity, mainly in thinking, but then also in some of the issues of pornography, masturbation. And so we want to be open and honest and communicate about that. And so as I've seen this grow and develop, not to say it hasn't existed before, but to say it seems to be there's more and more guys that are really seriously wanting some help or getting caught and needing help. So that's what this comes out of. I want to share with you just a couple of things that are out of, I'll mention several different resources. Here are some testimonies that are out of a Pure Freedom resource. This is from, and they're all general first names, but this is from Pastor Ken. It says, I was hooked by porn at the age of 8. And could have been an earlier situation. Here's a name, a guy by the name of Jake. When I was about 7 years old, probably earlier, I assumed masturbation was okay and went ahead and began what would be an ongoing habit. My parents told me I shouldn't do it, but never really made a big deal about it and big enough and did not enforce the rule or punish me when I did do it. Looking back, I wish they had. Here's a guy by the name of Bob. My addiction to porn started when I was a teenager in the 60s. I found a Playboy in my dad's room. Here's another one by a person by the name of Toby. My earliest recollection of pornography is when I was riding my bike through the town center one Sunday and a pile of magazines under a truck caught my eye. My heart leapt as I discovered them to be pornographic magazines. As I surveyed the guys that I'm working with, I work with two groups right now. One's a group of high school guys on Wednesdays, one's another group of college guys on Saturdays. As I surveyed the guys, all of us, including myself, encountered pornography or a major struggle of some sort or masturbation to occur between the ages of 8 and 14. As you read material and as you hear testimonies, the typical age, I mean, that's typical from what I'm finding in testimonies and guys I'm talking to, is it's in between about 10 to 14, ages 10 to 14. And I just want to tell you, you think about that, you're looking at, you know, second grade through about fifth grade. If we wait until their latter junior high or senior high, we're missing it. And so that's part of what this is about too. So we really get going as a church, as ministry leaders, and helping young people to be prepared for this. But I say this, I realize there are a good number of people, statistically, sitting in this group, there's probably a good number of people that are struggling with the issues of pornography, masturbation, and possibly even sexual immorality. And so I realize there could be some people just sitting right here in this room that are saying, well, I'm here to help some others, but quite frankly, there's a secret going on in my life. And I hope, if that's the case, I really hope and pray that the study of God's Word tonight is going to be something that's going to convict you so badly that you can't even sleep tonight. That you have to deal with it. Because before we think we can ever help somebody else with an issue like this, we've got to make sure our hearts are pure and in the right place. That's my prayer. Here's a quote by Charles Spurgeon. He wrote, "Men are in a restless pursuit after satisfaction in earthly things. They will exhaust themselves in the deceitful delights of sin, and finding them all to be vanity and emptiness, they will become very perplexed and disappointed. But they will continue their fruitless search. Though wearied, they still stagger forward under the influence of spiritual madness. And though there is no result to be reached except that of everlasting disappointment, yet they press forward. They have no forethought for their eternal state. The present hour absorbs them. They turn to another and another of earth's broken cisterns, hoping to find water where not a drop was ever discovered yet." I think that's where we are. I think that's where we are. Well, here's a few things that we need to be considering and thinking about. As adults, we may have a tendency to respond in the following ways to this issue. Okay, and I'm sorry, I am going to gear it more towards teenagers. But when we hear of this happening, sexual sin of any sort, or the whole issue of masturbation or pornography, and, you know, the first thing, some may respond and say, shrug and just say how ridiculous it is and let someone else deal with that mess. Hey, not my problem. Let somebody else deal with it. Here's another thing that may be said. Praise God, we're no longer a teenager, and I'll just pray for him. Man, praise the Lord. I don't have to deal with that anymore. I'm past it. Let them deal with it. Here's another thing. Yell a message of don'ts and judge those who have questions about anything. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. And if anybody questions anything, you've got a problem. You shouldn't be questioning anything. That's how some people choose to deal with this issue. Another thing, and we could go on and on with this list, but here's just a few. Another response could be, hey, it's always a test to your salvation. If you're struggling with sexual sin, you're not saved. Now, is that a possibility? Yes, it's a possibility. But some would just blank statement, if you're struggling with sexual sin, you're not saved. So we don't want to hit the extremes. We want to look at this realistically, biblically, and dive into it, okay? So let me pray with you, and let's get going. Father, it is good to be able to look into your scriptures. It's good to be able to study together. We pray for your grace. We pray for your guidance. We ask that tonight, as we are studying, as we are looking at scriptures, that this time would be used wisely. This time would be beneficial to every one of us. And Lord, I do give to you any person that would be in here that's struggling in any way, shape, or form with this issue of sexual purity. It's the very core of who we are. It's not just something that takes place here and there that we can separate. It's something that's a part of our being. And you want it to be pure because you want us to be vessels that are pure to be able to serve you. And so I pray if there's anybody here that's struggling with this in any way, shape, or form, that you would, through the power of the Holy Spirit and your word, you would convict them so badly that they could just hardly stand it. That they would seek somebody out that's here. And I mean, we're at a counseling conference. I mean, and get help. We thank you for this. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Well, let's look here. Sex and sexuality outside of God's plan. And we need to briefly just kind of think about God's plan. Now, I will tell you, at the beginning of this, you have got a lot of material. I wrote it out. I put it out there for you so we can go through it a little bit quicker so we can have some more time toward the end. I do want us to spend the majority of our time looking at Psalm 119, 9 through 6, or 9 through 16, and then having some discussion out of that in another passage also. So I will tell you up front, at the beginning of this, I'm going to move a little bit quicker on purpose. But God's plan, just briefly review that and think about it. Genesis 1 and 2, as far as God creating all things, God creating man and woman. You've got there in your notes talking about for the purpose of bringing glory to Him, being image bearers. And that's continued all throughout Scripture. They were to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. That wasn't just to fill the earth and make it full. It was to make it full of God's glory, being image bearers for Him. That is our responsibility as believers. And also one man and one woman to help complete one another. Sex is, as he said, he created all things. And after man and woman was created, he said, it is very good. It's within God's ordained boundaries. It is very good. And so we don't want to skip over that. That has got to be our focus when we're talking about this issue. It was given